Listeners, to another wonderful episode of Twinfinite Loop, Twinfinite's official podcast. Remember, we're here to keep you in the loop. I'm your host, John Charles Holmes, and with me today are my friends Moss.
Hello, everybody.
And Andy.
This is Andy.
And how are you guys doing this week? You guys doing good? Playing any good video games?
I'm playing a lot of Zombie U lately, and it's scary as fuck.
You want zombies. Are you ever, like, not playing a zombie game?
Zombies. What other zombie game am I playing?
Resident Evil Revelations.
Oh, yeah, that was also really good.
He doesn't even see zombie color anymore. They're just people in his eyes.
I know, isn't that great?
You should really aspire to be more like you, Andy.
That's not great. It's us or them, Andy. God damn it.
You know what? You're not a POZ, a person of zombie, of zombification, so I'm not really...
I'm definitely not.
It's not about a people of color anymore. Now it's about POZ.
Is that the little bubble you're filling in on your taxes now?
Yeah. Lover of allies. I'm in the Association for Allies of People of Zombifications.
That must be one hell of an acronym.
Yeah. It's gotten me many jobs by now.
Hey, look, but for now, let's jump right into it, all right? There was a pretty interesting article on Gamma Sutra. Sorry to cut you guys off. I feel so rude. I don't mean to be rude. I just want to talk. I want to talk to you guys about giving games away for free. As many of you probably are already aware, Sony's PlayStation Plus program for the PS3, PS4, and PS Vita has been wildly successful in the past 2 or 3 years or so. Basically, it's their equivalent of Xbox Live, but one of the biggest hooks of it that gets a lot of people are the constant free games they're giving away. Like, at any given month, there's at least like 24 games you can just get for free that are available to you as long as you have your PlayStation Plus subscription. Like, just looking at my PlayStation Store account alone, I've got so many games, and a lot of them like very new games, like hard copy games that have come out in the past year. But a very common practice among PlayStation Plus has been, especially for indie developers, is when their games release, to release games either at a discount or even for completely free, such as Tribute Games' recent Mercenary Kings. And in an interview with Gamma Sutra, they talked about whether or not giving this game away for free helped to boost their sales at all, and it sounds like it helps a bit, but not a lot, because basically everybody on PS4 has this game for free, and it didn't help to boost PC sales because they got most of their sales when the game was in early access, but what it mostly resulted in for them was just like an influx of traffic of people like playing the game, and it's definitely helped to get their name out there, and it's a big risk, but it can have a big return of getting like more customers back. Like, do you guys think this is actually like a smart tactic to use? Just give away your game to just get your name out there. Like, you think it's a good idea, or should developers be asking more from players?
Well, on a case by case basis. I mean, you look at the article and they're talking about that game, Mercenary Kings, and that's a relatively like small like indie development teams like that. And then I noticed a lot of like PlayStation Plus games, like they're giving out games like Sleeping Dogs. You know, that's a big AAA title, and several years after everyone's already played it, you know, it's kind of safe to be just kind of giving it away for free. But then, like, a small game like Mercenary Dogs, you know...
Mercenary Dogs.
I was actually...
Mercenary Dogs. Snow Dogs.
I was really happy to see in the article that they said that it was actually really good for them. Better than expected when they had actually released it for free, because they had while it wasn't nearly as much sales wise of their Steam early access, stuff like that. still worked out for them. So that was really good, actually. I didn't expect that whatsoever. I thought maybe because no one knew about it and it wasn't like a well-established franchise or company that no one would really give it a chance. But, you know, it really depends on the quality of the work, then, it seems. And that's really cool. I like that.
Yeah, I've always wondered what the submission process for that is. Like, do the companies themselves actually pay money to get on PlayStation Plus, or does Sony pay the developers to do it, you know?
I think, well, I mean, I was also reading a thing about exclusivity.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like Microsoft is paying some money to these developers, where like Titanfall, like they're fighting for Titanfall to not be on a PlayStation 4. So, you know, they have to pay more money in order for them to keep that property. It's like that. And then I think it, development teams don't really have, like indie teams don't really have the money to necessarily do that. So then it's a matter of who picks them up first. And then for big titles like that, it's something else entirely.
We've definitely been seeing that like less and less than when like every game was exclusive on Xbox Live at first, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think about this whole thing, though? Does it fly straight with you?
Yes. no, I mean, I think it's mutually beneficial for both the developers of the game and then Sony or Microsoft to, mm-hmm. to put this on their like free game collection, whatever their respective things are called. Because I mean, if for indie games, it just gets their name out there in general, and it introduces them like that Gamasutra article you were saying. I read that too. It just introduces their game to a subset of gamer that would not have heard it or played it or anything like that. And then for the big AAA titles, it's future investment on the part of the developer. Cause if they can give away their awesome game for free, chances are when like the sequel comes out, you know, gamers are going to be like, oh, I remember I played that for free and it was awesome. I don't mind paying money for this because I know it's going to be awesome as well.
See, they kind of touch on this in the Gamasutra article, which is like, something I noticed, like, every time, like, a cool game gets, like, announced for PSN or something, but, by putting out such, like, solid games, like, regularly on PlayStation Plus, both new and old, it's leading to, like, a lot more players kind of, like, waiting on buying games, because, like, if a cool indie game comes out, you see just, like, waves of comments on websites saying, oh, this is definitely gonna be PlayStation Plus in, like, a month or two, and, like, to their credit, like, 9 times out of 10, they are usually right about that. Like, a lot of this stuff does end up, like, being free eventually. And I mean, like, the obvious trade-off is, of course, like, you know, you're waiting to play a game that you could play sooner if you just paid the money. But, I mean, all the same, like, there still is, like, a small subsect of gamers just kind of, like, waiting for these things to go free. Or even on the PC realm of things, waiting for, like, cool-looking indie games to pop up in a Humble Bundle so they can buy it for, like, 1 cent and be that guy, you know? Like, do you think that represents, like, a big enough, like, chunk of these consumers to spell any sort of, like, danger for these games in the future?
Well, personally, I remember, did you guys ever download that Aegis Wing? It was free on Xbox Live for the 360?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like that was a game I probably would have never fucking given the time of day, you know, regularly. And then I downloaded it, but I don't really know if they necessarily made any games after that, you know. And it depends on how good of it is. And if it really is going to be great, you know, it'll be more than just like, oh my god, I downloaded that game for free, because there are plenty of like crappy little free games too as well. So I mean, I don't know. It's very objective. And kind of just depends on what game it is and who the audience is. I mean, I don't know. It's kind of broad.
Basically, like, the merits of a good game will speak for itself.
Yeah, more or less.
I mean, but at the same time, you're going to have those people that are like, oh, it's a free game. I don't care if it's good or bad. I'm not paying squat for it.
Mm-hmm.
Might as well download it and try it out. If it's bad, exactly. I lose nothing. If it's good, I, you know, I gain.
But when that company like makes another game, you know, it's going to depend on whether or not people are actually going to buy it, depending on what they thought of the first one, the free one that really got them out there. And then
they even joke about that point, in the Gamasutra article saying kind of like, you have a bunch of Call of Duty style players playing this old school game, and they just aren't pleased. But at the same time, they didn't pay anything for it. makes any sense.
Yeah.
No, no, I understand.
Yeah. Sorry about that. But
I was coughing, so I had to mute my mic.
All right. Everybody was just coughing at the same time.
Exactly.
And like I definitely don't want to see these free games stop, because like I definitely think it's helping to give PlayStation Plus value. And I mean, like, part of it too is like, you know, if you miss the games when they're free, it's like you have to buy them. So it's like later adopters don't get to pick up stuff like Mercenary Kings when like it's brand new and free and stuff or whatever. But I don't know. I mean, like, I guess it's pretty cool that developers can kind of use that as more of a viable method to try and get their name out there, you know, giving their game for free or pay what you
want. I have a question because you know, these people aren't going to be getting these games for free unless they pay like $50 a whatever, what is it, a year or something like that?
Yeah, it's like $50 a year.
I don't know if the article actually said it or like not. I don't think so. But like, what do they get for, aside from downloads, a bunch of free downloads, for being, you know, on the PlayStation Plus like free games thing?
Yeah, see, that's exactly what I was asking. I mean, I guess there's some research to be done here, because like I said, I'd love to know if, like, you know, do the developers, like, does Sony come to these developers, or do they like have an application process? And if it happens, it'll be like, okay, you guys get like a 5% cut of all the subscriptions that we get to our service.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Our game is up here.
You know? I don't think Sony or Microsoft would be parting with that, especially because it's not free for a month only. Usually, when games get on PS Plus, they're on there for a couple of months until like newer games start to bump them off the list.
Mm-hmm.
So it just wouldn't make financial sense for Sony to offer them a cut. I think at best they get free advertising.
Because
I mean, I don't have any numbers to back this up, but I would assume that most people who have PlayStation Plus, they're like, all right, I'm paying for this, I might as well take advantage of it. And every free game, whether I know it or not, whether I'm interested in it or not, I might as well download it, play it, and then see what I think.
I mean, any publicity is good publicity, so, I mean, whatever, I guess. And it works better, exactly, for an indie team. People like Square Enix doesn't care if people know who Square Enix is after downloading Sleeping Dogs for free. That's just for fun more.
Yeah, I just looked it up and I found another Gamma Sutra article that's talking about the process for getting these games with PlayStation Plus. And the developer they're talking to is actually saying that they haven't seen, like, at least as of this writing, they hadn't seen any sort of like cut of money from having their game being free on PlayStation Plus, but like, it's more than made up for in like the dedicated fan bases and user bases they get from making these games free.
Hmm. No, yeah, fair enough. Yeah, it helps them get a little fan base that they probably wouldn't have gotten otherwise. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. So I mean, yeah. If you have a game up on PlayStation Plus, developers, like, it sounds like it's really more of a blessing than a curse, even if you don't see a single penny from it. Because I mean, like I said, like, Mercenary Kings has way more people playing it at least than they ever expected, and like, that's the kind of thing that maybe in the future we'll have them try and make more content to satisfy those fans, especially the ones who are there for free, or adjust the online services to accommodate that many people.
What about Xbox Live games with gold, so like that? Like, I noticed that, you know, for a while they were giving out like Halo 3, which is something that everyone already has. It's like these are games that have been out for 100 million years and stuff like that. But then I noticed that now they're giving out like the small indie games. But even then, these are indie games that have been on Xbox Live for years, like that Keflin's game, and it doesn't even matter, honestly.
I feel like this is just Microsoft's growing pains with this free games monthly deal, because their setup is a little bit different from PS Plus, in which the games that they put out two games, they're only available for that month. But unlike PlayStation, once if your Xbox Live Gold lapses and you don't renew it, then you still keep the games and can access them and can play them.
Oh, really? I didn't know that happened with PlayStation. Wow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because, like, the first time I had PlayStation Plus was after the hack, and I got a free trial, and, like, I nabbed all those free games, but I didn't play them. But by the time I actually bought my own subscription, like, a year later, like, everything it had gotten from that time was, like, right back up there. So it's kind of like, I don't feel bad about, like, getting some of the free games and not playing them, because it's just kind of like, when I'm ready to play them, I can just drop, like, $20 on, like, a subscription for a few months and just, like, have access to these and other games right quick just for, like, whatever, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a pretty good system. I mean, like, if any listeners out there, like, have a Sony device and they haven't actually checked out PlayStation Plus, like, it's actually a surprisingly, like, been fantastic.
On Sony's end, it was brilliant because it showed, like, a lot of long-term planning. Because PlayStation 3, they're giving away all these games that people are like, you know, either they're small indie games that, you know, turned out to be really amazing, or they were bigger AAA titles that people were like, wow, how is this already for free? Like Tomb Raider, or I think Borderlands 2 was on PS Plus a couple of months ago.
That's crazy.
And yeah. For you right now, too.
So that's how... For PS4, they can justify putting on a paywall for multiplayer. Like, you have to have PS Plus to play multiplayer online. Because people are like, all right, I don't mind paying to play online, because at the same time, I'm getting the ability to download all these awesome free games.
They slowly ease us into the greatest setup for online gaming ever made, huh?
Exactly.
Yeah. Any final thoughts on PlayStation Plus, you guys, aside from our glittering advertisements for it?
Whenever I get console, I'm going to do it.
Yeah, hell yeah, you should.
I highly recommend everyone who has a PlayStation get it. It's just so worth it.
Mm-hmm. It really is. And if you don't get the free games, Jesus Christ, the sales. Like, oh my God.
Yeah, the sales are ridiculous.
I mean, I think I picked up, like, Tomb Raider for, like, $5 over Christmas through PlayStation Plus. I got The Walking Dead Season 2 for $10, like, 2 weeks ago. It was nuts.
That's nuts.
You know what else is nuts?
No.
This break we're gonna take.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
Break. Listeners, did you miss us?
Yeah.
I missed us.
Yeah.
I miss me every day, but I never miss the listeners. I'm just kidding. It's the opposite. I miss you guys. You guys are the only reason to wake up anymore. But now we have a new reason to wake up, because if you woke up this weekend, you might have noticed some pretty crazy news. Right, guys?
No.
Crazy. Crazy Razzie.
I passed out when I saw...
Oh, God, he passed out right now.
Yeah. I'm literally I can't see right now.
Well, you need your eyes to see, because they just dug up that landfill of E.T. Atari cartridges.
I don't need my eyes. This is a podcast. This is all audio.
It's only a podcast if you don't have your eyes, son.
You know, can we call this the first podcast exclusively for blind people? Because you don't really need to...
We can have a descriptive subtitle, you know, John Charles is sitting at his desk with a microphone talking about E.T. Some shit went down this weekend in the form of a famous, infamous landfill out in the deserts of...
New Mexico, I think? Arizona?
Yeah, it's like I believe it is New Mexico.
Roswell? New Mexico. That's what the aliens have been trying to get. That's the thing.
They're
trying to phone back to him. They had the gall, these Earthlings, to bury our brethren in a fucking landfill. All million copies of him. We got to get him back.
I mean, you know, decades before, they actually buried the things in 1983. I mean, as the urban legends go. When the video game industry crashed back in the 80s due to, like, the massive failure of games like Pac-Man and E.T., the extraterrestrial for the Atari 2600, Atari was just so, like, ashamed of this failure. They took, like, all the remaining copies of E.T. in stock and just, like, shredded them up and buried it in a hole out in the desert along with a bunch of other random Atari merchandise. And just paved over it with a sheet of pure concrete. And for years, like, it's it's been a point of discussion that, you know, like, ooh, you know, are these cartridges actually out there? Or, yeah, man, hell yeah, they're out there. Of course,
yeah, dude,
we do that. But this weekend, we finally got the official word on the myth itself. And the cartridges were, in fact, out there when they were dug up for an Atari documentary that they're filming about the crash of the industry or whatever. But they went to go dig it up, and fans were there to watch them dig it up and actually were, like, taking pieces of the games themselves and other weird merchandise that was in the hole. Like, can you guys, like, did you guys always believe that this was real?
I always thought, like, it was just an urban legend. Like, oh, it was so bad they buried it. Because you hear about stuff like that, like, in sports and whatnot, like, especially with the Cubs baseball franchise. Like, they're like, oh, you know, this is the ball that cursed us, so we blew it up and buried it in a deep, dark hole. I never actually thought that this was real, but when they actually showed it, and, like, they had all these other bunch of Atari games, and then some of them were even still, like, shrink-wrapped.
Oh, jeez.
That was awesome.
Yeah, I was, like, actually on my way to a campsite when I read the news on my phone, like, right before my single went out, and I was like, holy shit, they actually did it. You know, I wish I could have been there to, like, actually see it, because, I mean, like, just think about, like, just how bizarre and surreal that is, that, like, we're digging up Atari games like dinosaur bones.
I just wish that it took them more time to find all the stuff. Like, the guy who did the actual burying, like, just forgot where he put it. Or they couldn't find him because he turned into this recluse that just lived in the woods. So it took them, like, 6 months or something to dig it up. And then it's like Raiders of the Lost Ark, where they open it up and everyone's like, eyes don't burn out.
Don't look at it. Whatever you do, don't open your eyes. And
I'll blow it up. I swear to God, I'll blow it up.
It's like, you want to see what's in this hole too, don't you, Dr. Jones?
And then a ghost makes him choose the right cartridge. Which one is the real E.T. extraterrestrial?
I think you're getting your Indiana Jones films mixed up, Andy.
I know, but they could be all... No, all three can apply.
Like, you think, like, any...
Four, that's right. I'm sorry, I forgot there was a fourth one.
We don't talk about the fourth one.
Shh, no.
That never happened. That was a
Kate
nightmare.
Blanchett was the best thing about that movie, okay? And if it wasn't for Kate Blanchett, it would have been even worse.
Kate Blanchett and her horrible Russian accent.
Hey. There's nothing horrible at Kate Blanchett ever, and you take that back. And I wish it was a Kate Blanchett Atari 2600 game. That'd been great.
Maybe there was a hole somewhere right now, you know?
Yeah, probably.
Do you think, like, that could ever happen again with, like, any game today that's just, like, so bad or such a flop? Like maybe, like, 10 years from now, like, our kids will be talking about, like, a hole filled with abandoned Xbox One Kinects. Like,
what was the last big flop?
Ah, gee, I'm trying to think. I mean, like, the
Superman 64 was really bad.
That was probably, yeah, that might have been.
Oh, shit, you know what this is kind of like? It's like, Shaq Fu. There's, like, a site dedicated to tracking down every copy of Shaq Fu and destroying it.
Wow. Why? That game was awesome.
That game was awful. When you jumped across the entire screen. Like,
that was amazing.
Just people jumping back and forth, even trying to get near each other.
That was amazing. Don't you dare hate on it.
But yeah, like, maybe, I don't know, maybe that might actually be the closest thing we'll ever get. Like, maybe those exceeding destroying so many Shaq Fus that, like, we'll have to ask ourselves, was Shaq Fu even real, or was it just, like, some well-photoshopped meme?
Or a figment of our imagination, something we've always wanted, and then it materialized into Shaq Fu. This is what the human race needed.
It's we what all the just human believed, race deserved. We believed it into existence.
Yeah.
I mean, I gotta tell you guys, though, I do really wish I could have actually had been at that hole when it was dug up, because, like, that'll never happen again. Like, you can only break that concrete once, you know? Pop that concrete cherry.
Mm-hmm. And especially now with, like, the move to digital gaming, it's nothing like that will ever happen again. It's kind of sad.
It was just suddenly find, like, a ditch full of, like, Sony servers that were just abandoned one day.
A ditch of N-gauges. That would be awesome.
Oh my god, I can't wait for the N-Gage 2.
Oh, I just remembered another one of those good legends. The guy who made the Gizmondo, like, apparently he got most of the money to actually make the device from, like, the Mafia, and then, like, he didn't pay them back, and they actually, like, came to, like, take his life, and then he got into, like, a highway shootout with the Mafia.
Yeah, dude, it was great.
That's how the Gizmondo met its end.
Yeah, I remember after reading about that, I had to look up the Gizmondo. I was like, surely it couldn't have been that bad, worth shootouts and an episode of The Sopranos around the Gizmondo. And sure enough.
But Sticky Balls exists, and it was that bad.
Don't talk about Sticky Balls, please, on the podcast. This is a family podcast.
A family podcast. Yeah, I guess we still do kind of get some legends like that, you know? I think it's going to be a while until we get something big like that, as long as, like, there's only, like, three big consoles. But who knows? Maybe Nintendo might flub up so bad that they might try to just, like, make us forget the Wii U ever existed.
I don't think so.
Calm down. I have a lot of fun with mine, bitch. All right? No, honestly, it's got...
Oh, I think the Mafia just took Andy out. He said too much. I think we're going to have to take a break to see if we can find his corpse before it shows up under a bridge somewhere.
Or like, him alive. Maybe they just kidnapped him and are beating him up.
Don't worry, Andy. We're gonna find you. We're going to save your dental records. We're just going to take a quick break, and then we're going to dig you up, all right? Here we go. Ready, Moz?
Ready.
All right. Break, guys. Be right back. Listeners, we found Andy. He had a couple cuts, but he's not dead. He's okay.
I'm not dead. I should be, though.
Well, maybe next time he won't badmouth Sticky Balls so much.
You're the one talking about Sticky Balls and big consoles, and you're completely inappropriate. And
Guys, we don't want them to come back, okay?
Yeah, let's talk about a good system, like the Game Boy, huh? You guys know the Game Boy turned 25 years old this week?
Congratulations. Jesus. Happy birthday.
Did any of you guys happen to have, like, an original Game Boy, or did you jump on with, like, a Pocket or a Color or something?
I jumped on with a Color. And even I jumped on late.
I sort of had an original one. My friend had one, and he let me borrow it, and I had it for, like, 6 months after that point. Mm-hmm. Until it died. So I kind of had one.
I got a Color so I could play Pokemon like all the cool kids were.
Yep, so did I. Which one did you have?
I had that clear purple one, son.
Oh, I had the teal one.
That's why I want to make clear gaming stuff is like the best stuff ever, and I wish they still did it.
Dude, I was teal.
Dude, imagine how cool a clear Wii U pad would be. Like, oh my god, that'd be so cool.
Would it though?
I mean, they had clear GameCube controllers.
Did they really?
Yeah, like the top was purple and the bottom was clear. I've got one.
That is kind of stupid.
It would look really sweet, though. Like, you got the clear and then you got the touchscreen with it. That would be, like, nuts.
Yeah, totally. What color was your Game Boy, Andy?
I had the lime green one.
You would.
What?
That is such an Andy move. Lime green.
Jesus Christ. What do you have against lime green?
No, I mean, honestly, if I picked a color nowadays, it's actually probably the one I would have gone for, too.
Lime green? Ew, what's wrong with you guys?
Oh, my God. You guys are just lime green, jello, envious. Fuck you.
Like, did you guys all get your Game Boys for, like, Pokemon? Or
yeah. Yep. Pokemon.
My friend had red and blue, mm-hmm. So I bought mine in yellow, and then I took his Pokemon blue, and we just played against each other.
Oh gosh. Okay, that reminds me of a quick story, right? This isn't my story. This is my friend's story back home, okay? So, do you remember that special Pokemon Game Boy Color?
The yellow one?
It was yellow and blue.
It was yellow. It had, like...
Yeah, the buttons were red and green, and then the power light was Pikachu's cheek. So when he turned it on, his cheeks would light up, right?
Oh, that's so cute.
I remember. Yeah. It was adorable. I wanted it, and I didn't get it, of course.
Yeah, my buddy has that one. It's super-duper awesome. And, like, he was telling me that back in the day... He used to hang out with this kid who lived in a trailer park, and his mom, like, didn't like him because he was like, nah, his family's not the best, but, I mean, he's your friend or whatever. And so, like, he had his friend over, and they were just kind of, like, hanging out, playing games or whatever, and then his friend left, and he was like, okay, I'm going to play Pokemon now. Couldn't find his Game Boy, and his mom was like, did you have that boy over again? He was like, yeah. He was like, okay, we're going to his trailer. And so they go to the trailer park, and, like, they knock on the door, and his mom's like, to the other mom, like, okay, I think your son stole my son's Game Boy. Can we just come in and get it? I know he has it. Let's just get it. And the boy's like, yeah, I took it. And it's like, come on. And he goes to his room, and his room is just filled with stacks of these Game Boys. And he just picks up his Game Boy from the pile and is like, this one's yours. Here you go. And
what the hell?
That's incredible.
This guy was pulling off the heist of the century. He almost lost a really cool Game Boy in the process. Thank God he got it back, right?
No, my favorite...
Why would he just keep the evidence lying? Like, that was a horrible criminal.
He lived in a trailer park.
He was a child.
Yeah, but you bury the evidence. Everyone knows that. Everyone knows that.
Like E.T., you bury the evidence.
Exactly.
Yeah, a playful of Game Boy behind his trailer. But were there any other games you guys like got with your Game Boys that you remember besides Pokemon? Or was it just Pokemon?
I had Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, and that was awesome because it was like a little RPG. You walk around and then do spells and whatever.
I had Kirby's Dream Land, and we played it.
Yeah. Oh,
that's a good selection right there.
That was my first game. And I really? Still play it to this day. It's the only one that I play to this day. So, because it's like an hour long, so I'll just play through it like every few months.
Yeah, I remember I played it for the first time like maybe like 5 years ago because I bought it at a used game store for like $5. I was like, why is this game $5? Oh man, I'm gonna get started on it right now. And, like 20 minutes later, okay, yeah, it was $5. I got my $5 worth out of it.
Yeah, pretty much. But it's so much fun. It's awesome.
Oh yeah, it is.
It holds up really well.
For me, my other game that I had was Game & Watch Gallery 3, specifically. You guys know about those games?
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, Andy, you watched me play Game & Watch Gallery 2 on my 3DS on the bus to PAX.
I don't remember that. I was probably really drunk.
I was... You told me it was the best day of your life. You didn't mean that?
No. I also... Did I say your name? Because I don't actually know your name, so I probably, like...
That's why you kept calling me Rudy. No, the Game & Watch games, they take those old LED Game & Watch games, and then they do basically, like, HD remakes of them, starring, like, Mario characters and stuff, and, like, they amp the gameplay up by, like, 10,000, so, like, they're, like, so much faster and so much harder.
No, I remember. It looked terrifying when you were doing that one with Peach in the kitchen, and, which, now I think about it, it sounds totally sexist. Like, yeah, of course, the minigame in the kitchen is going to be Peach.
They always give her a frying pan. Like, where the hell did that come from?
Well, I don't know. Under her dress. She keeps a frying pan, a golf club, a tennis racket. This is all canon. If you had read the extended universe of Super Mario, you would know that she carries these things.
She's got it in Smash Brothers. She had it in Mario RPG. I think she has it in Paper Mario.
Like, in her vagina. She has a tennis racket.
And that's why Peach is a slut. But, I mean, those games are, like, pretty baller. That and Kirby's Tilt and Tumble. I could play that game till the cows come home. Like, I still don't know why that's not on the 3DS virtual console, since the 3DS does have gyroscopes in it.
I thought about that, too. And I'm not sure. Maybe, I mean, well, emulation works differently than like, just, like, straight up, like, the game working straight from... The console itself, so maybe that.
I totally had a Game Boy emulator on my computer like back in the day. You could play
Tilt
and Tumble with a mouse. You just move the mouse to the edge of the screen, and it would just simulate tilting the Game Boy.
Oh my god, that's genius!
Yeah, I guess that was literally the only game it worked for, but it did it. I don't know. Were there ever any like crazy peripherals or games with stuff built into them that you remember? You know, like the Game Boy camera.
I haven't. I had the Game Boy camera. And while it's a little later than all this, I had the e-reader.
I wish I had an e-reader.
Dude, it was pretty terrible.
Dude, I am so banking on them bringing back the e-reader stuff when they start putting that stuff on the virtual console. Because there's like a whole slew of like Mario 3 stages that were exclusive to e-readers in the GBA version of that game.
Oh my god, I had a Donkey Kong Jr.
Mm-hmm.
on that, and I would play that really, really often, something like that. But yeah, it was really inconvenient to like have to like swipe all the cards, and then you have to swipe them like perfectly, mm-hmm. or else you wouldn't read it. And it was just funny, but it was cute. It was cute. I really liked like the Pokemon cards, and mm-hmm. some Pokemon cards actually had like the stripe on the other side, and you just swipe them and play like games as that Pokemon. It was awesome.
Yeah, we even did Nintendo to actually like program games on the cards. Well, I guess they probably didn't program the games onto the cards, but I guess they had like a, like I guess the keys to unlock the information, huh?
I have no clue how it worked, honestly.
Well, I mean, the ones like Donkey Kong Jr., like, did you have to have a game plugged in, or did you just plug it into the Game Boy by itself?
The e-reader was just the giant peripheral that you just put on top of into the cartridge slot, and then bam, you just did it.
And they totally had games programmed on the cards. Fucking
you think?
Right there.
Yeah, it was inside the card. It was crazy. Yeah.
I mean, on that note, let's talk about how awesome the Game Boy Advance was. Like.
Oh, I loved it. I loved it.
Fantastic. Like, that's probably my favorite handheld I've ever played, just because, like, the buttons are in, like, the best place. It's got those shoulder buttons, and, like, the screen is wider, and it's basically a handheld Super Nintendo. And then they just, like, made the Game Boy Advance SP and just, like, made it even more awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it's a small part of me actually really wishes I had a Game Boy Micro. Not gonna lie.
I always wanted one. But I know how impractical it is, but it is so cute.
Impractical. You can put it in like the breast pocket of your t-shirt. You could swallow it if you had to.
I hated it with a passion because I have giant bear paws for hands, and I could literally hide it in my fist if I want.
It's like you go to a boxing match. It's like, wow, he really punched him out. It's like, wait a minute. They open up your glove. Hey, he cheated. There's a Game Boy in this guy's fist.
Do you still have the bear paws for hands? Dude, I thought you were gonna get the surgery.
There were some complications.
So. I was talking to you about it, about why you should go through with it and how impractical it is to have bear paws for hands, especially when you're a writer on a website, journalist website, if you're not gonna go through with it, listen, I don't know how serious you are about this.
Listen, I don't want all my business in the street, so let's talk about this later, okay?
Okay, at least that means he's the only person on Earth who actually likes the bear controller for the Xbox.
Oh, I love the Duke. Are you kidding me? Oh, I could use that thing perfectly.
That's true.
It was made for you.
It was.
That thing is like... fucking might as well be a futon. It was so huge.
But it sucked. Every time like my friend had a bunch of us over his house to play Halo, I was always stuck with the Duke, which I didn't mind, but his Duke controller was like broken. Like one of the sticks was like the spring broke inside, so it always kind of pointed off to the side.
Mm-hmm.
So if I tried to turn right, it wouldn't move, but if I tried to turn left, it'd be like double speed. So I would always come in last place because this stupid controller.
You
think it would help you on stages that went like counterclockwise or something?
Right. You'd think so, but no.
Yeah, any Game Boy Advance games stick out to you guys? Like off the top of your head, what's your favorite GBA game?
Legend of Zelda, Oracle of Seasons.
That's Game Boy Color.
That's Game Boy Color, bitch.
Is it? Holy
yeah.
God.
Yeah.
Wow.
Interesting.
Because, I mean, like, for every original game that was on the GBA, there were, like, maybe, like, 5 or 6 SNES ports. There were a lot of those on that system.
Yeah, like the first thing that came to my mind, which isn't even original, was Super Mario Advance 3, I think. And it came with, like, Super Mario, I forgot which one.
That was Yoshi's Island, I think.
Oh, no. This one came with a Super Mario game.
Yeah, the first one was Mario 2, the second one was Mario World, the third one was Yoshi's Island, and the fourth one was Mario 3.
Mario 3, then, I think. Yeah. And I played the hell out of that, but aside from that, I mean, I didn't play too many Game Advance games, to be honest. Or, like, too many good ones, actually. Like, I had the Dragon Ball Z, I remember asking, it was like a Legend of Goku game, and I asked my parents, I'm like, hey, can I get a Dragon Ball Z game? And they're like, yeah, sure. And they got me the Dragon Ball Z trading card game. And I was like, this is fine.
That's okay. I'm fine. That's okay.
Yeah. I was like, oh, okay.
I know there was a Dragon Ball game on the GBA that was supposed to be pretty good. I always wanted to give that one a try.
Mm.
I'm that nerd where, like, two of my favorite GBA games are, like, import games. I love Mother 3 and I love Rhythm Tengoku. Like, those are just two just, like, fantastic games on that system right there.
How could we possibly be forgetting Advance Wars?
Advance Wars? Are you an Advance Wars fan, Moss?
I played the first game and I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember ever finishing it or what the hell the story was, but I remember enjoying my time with it. Golden Sun! How the hell did I forget that?
Yeah, man, it just came out of the Wii U Virtual Console.
Yeah, should I get it?
Golden Sun is amazing. It's an awesome RPG.
Okay, I'll get it.
When I get my Wii U, like, that and Mario and Luigi will probably be two of the first games I get.
Get I don't know. Which Metroid game should I play first? Are you guys Metroid people? I asked.
Have you never played a Metroid game?
You know what? Now that I think about it, no, I've never.
Okay, actually, and this is actually good about this, but this actually might be my favorite GBA game. There is a remake of the original Metroid on the Game Boy Advance called Metroid Zero Mission.
Yeah, that's the one that Mike told me to play first.
Good. That game is so good. Like, I got a pretty good feeling that's gonna turn up on the Wii U Virtual Console. Like, the day that comes out, get it.
Okay.
Because it's just cool. Like it's Metroid in the style of Super Metroid, but it's like it's like five times faster than Super Metroid is. Because Super Metroid's like really slow and floaty, but this game's like so fast and like Samus is really heavy and stuff. And like once you learn the game, you can literally like blast the way like. I'll sit down some nights and just kind of be like, let's play Metroid Zero Mission, and I'll just, like, play it in a single sitting.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, it's a fantastic game. Plus, it's where Zero Suit Samus comes from, too, so we get to see the origins of that.
Are you just saying that because you get to see her, like, tight skinned suit, body, and tits?
For a GBA game, they show it off a lot. Yeah.
They're like, check out those pixels, guys, eh?
You beat the game in an hour. I think you earned this.
I think you earned these pixel breasts.
Oh, man. Jeez, maybe we should have just did a whole show to the Game Boy, because I just keep remembering, like, more and more, like, GBA games that I could just, like, talk about more and more.
It's not GBA, but one of my fondest memories was playing Gold and Silver, one of the two, mm-hmm. in the car on a road trip. And ever since then, I don't play video games in the car because seeing things in my peripheral, like the sides outside the windows moving along, really fucked with my eyes. And then I was playing so much of Pokemon Gold and Silver that we stopped at a gas station and then I threw up. And I'm pretty sure my vomit was black and white and like Game Boy colors.
Oh, it's horrifying, actually.
Yeah, don't play video games in the car. You get a...
Motion
sickness. You get a headache.
Oh, yeah. I just remembered how awesome Pokemon Pinball was, too.
Ah. Oh, that was cool. That was a really good game.
The game had sweet music.
I forgot the music, but it was a cool game.
Don't worry. It's going to be some break music in here somewhere.
I had Spider-Man when the first movie came out. I was like, yeah, why not? It was really, really... Oh, it was so hard. I never beat that game. Fuck that game.
Any final games you want to remember, Buzz?
Not really. I would just like to say that I really hope and pray that at some point Nintendo brings back the term Game Boy.
They retired it a few years back because like the Game Boy was around a little bit till like maybe like a year of the DS Lite being around, and then they just officially retired it.
Yeah, well, Jordan came out of retirement and won 3 championships, so I don't see why the Game Boy can't do like it. Nintendo, I guarantee you make a Game Boy and you brand it the Game Boy, you will make billions of dollars. I guarantee.
I'll tell you what. I held a 2DS at MAGFest, and I'll tell you what, buddy. I was like holding a Game Boy all over again.
It was like a very big Game Boy Advance. My friend got one the other day, and I was playing around with it. And it is like a very big Game Boy Advance. So why can't they just call it the Game Boy 3DS?
Oh.
The Game Boy 2DS just confused consumers even more.
Exactly. Because in all honesty, in my mind when I'm talking about DSs, I still call them Game Boys.
Hey, I mean, it's just like calling like video games Nintendo. It's just what you do.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you hear that little noise, that's a ferret banging on a cage.
Banging on a trash light?
Yeah.
Swinging from a street lamp? Alright, how about we take a quick break so you can quell that ferret a bit, huh?
No.
Give him a Game Boy. He'll shut right the hell up.
Yeah.
It's a girl. She's a girl. Her name is Misty.
Girls like Game Boys, too.
Exactly. Yeah. What are you, sexist or something?
You said he, bitch.
Okay. I did not know.
I don't care. You should have assumed.
It was the royal he.
Hey, boys, boys. Let's take this outside. We can't let the kids see mom and dad fighting, okay?
No. They should see it.
For the kids. We'll be back, guys.
They should see what's coming.
Break. Hello, listeners. It's that sad, sad, but magical time of day once more in which it's time to close out our show. Yeah. Did you guys have some fun today?
Yeah.
Yes, very much.
Yeah, so. I did.
Yeah, I mean, we learned a lot. We learned how games get on PlayStation Plus. We learned that the Gizmondo is a pretty hot item that you shouldn't touch or else the mafia will cap you. We learned that
people vomit playing Game Boy.
And when you do, it's black and white.
Yeah, I swear it was black and white.
that sounds like something out of like a autobiography. Like, that's the first chapter. Like, I remember where I was the first time I threw up in black and white.
By F. God's Fitzgerald.
You guys have anything coming up on the site soon that you want readers to look out for?
No. This is just like last week where it's just kind of... Most people are entering finals time on the site. So we're not super planning any hardcore awesome features. That doesn't mean there won't be any. It's just that we're not planning them. Inspiration can strike at any moment.
In the middle of your test, you just be like, teacher, I have to leave. Destiny calls.
In the middle of watching, like, Housewives of Malibu. Just, wow, I need to write about the Dark Souls.
Speaking of reality TV, if you guys haven't seen the show Chris Lee Knows Best, you should watch it because it's hilarious.
Chris Lee? Like...
Chris Lee. C-H-R-I-S-L-E-Y. All
does he really know best, though? Because I'm not going to watch something like... Someone who thinks they know best and doesn't actually know best is a liar.
He doesn't know. I mean, it depends on what you're talking about. He knows best in some things, but not everything.
No reality show will ever top Storage Wars, and no reality authority will ever top that old guy with the skeleton gloves. All right,
Barry. Let's get real. Barry.
Let's get Barry. See Barry. Who knows everything about nothing somehow.
There is no better reality show than Charm School, where Monique tries to get a bunch of ratchet-ass women to behave prim and proper. And that was the single greatest show I have ever seen in my... Oh, my God. Wait, I need to watch
Monique
that again.
Really still doing stuff?
No, this was back in 2007.
Wait, what? Even still...
The best reality show of all time was The Mad Real World with Tyree and the white guy who gets stabbed.
Oh, shit. Wow.
You guys know that the Chappelle skit, right? With the Mad Real World? Okay. Because it sounded like you guys didn't know what the hell I was talking about.
No, we talked about Chappelle's show.
Why don't you mind your own business once?
We had a whole discussion about Dave Chappelle.
Thanks for listening to our official Dave Chappelle episode. we talked about
Dave Chappelle. Turn out the lights.
DaveChappelle.com.
Did you guys have Dave Chappelle on the Game Boy Color? That was a great game.
Remember that time you had to swipe an e-reader card and then the screen just became his face, and when you tried to turn it off, his face was still there. And sometimes at night it would just start crying and you couldn't turn it down.
Yeah, that was weird.
I think your Game Boys were possessed. I don't think that was actually supposed to happen.
I don't think you had a real Game Boy. Did you get it like a flea market or something like that? Because that's what the real Game Boys were like.
It might have just been a baby.
It did say boy game instead of Game Boys.
I got a Game Station.
You got a GameCube or a PlayStation? Man, I got a Game Station.
But guys, all the same, you think things listen to Twinfinite Loop, the official podcast of Twinfinite.net. If you haven't yet subscribed to our show, you can do that on iTunes. We're up on the iTunes store, so you can subscribe to us, and we'll be delivered straight to your door. That is, if you tape your iPod to your door, then it will literally be delivered straight to your door. That is a guarantee, as long as you tape it to your door.
If we don't have an iPod.
Well, if you don't have an iPod, well, there's always a link from the post for the show every week to a site where you can go and you can listen to the episode on Podomatic and download it so you can listen to it in your player of choice. Because I have many friends who are adamantly against iTunes. I get it. It's cool. iTunes can be a piece of shit sometimes. Use a different music player. Listen to our podcast on it. It's all good stuff, huh?
Cool.
Indeed. Just do it. Just do it.
Yeah. Just fucking do it, okay? Don't ask questions. Who cares? You're asking too many questions. Just go ahead.
Don't question it. Just do it.
Don't question it. Just go read in Twinfinite.
Are you downloading it yet?
Follow us on Twitter and comment on our pages and drink your Ovaltine.
Download it. Come on. Is it at 60% yet? Or 20 at least? I mean, just go ahead and do it.
Yeah, you heard the man. He's crazy.
Come on. Trust me.
Come on, let's leave this chump to his devices so we can finish nailing this episode, huh?
I sound like an honest man, right?
this has been John Charles, your lovely host, and how about my friends? How about you guys say goodbye, huh?
Bye.
I'll miss you.
I'll miss you too.
I'll pick you up at 8, okay?
And bring flowers this time. I'm a classy lady. Whatever. Look, Andy.
Last time I brought you flowers, you just put them in a vase and let them die, and I don't think I really want to go through that again.
That's you know what that... I couldn't bear to move them again. I just like looking at them. There might be a few. Because you're never home.
You could throw them out. They're disgusting.
Guys, the mafia's here again. Just
son of a bitch. What the fuck? Wow. I'm out of here.
I just got back from a camping trip. I was camping from yesterday till about, noon today. Mm-hmm. And I had to go to this international street fair with my girlfriend. And so it's already really busy downtown, okay? Mm-hmm. Then I got to go to my interview, and I do my interview. And then I come back home, you know? I'm coming back home. I'm going to take a quick breather for like 10, 15 minutes. Then I'm going to do some TwinFit at work, and then it'll be time for the podcast. Then it'll be time to write my horror paper about Jeff Goldblum. Everything will be hunky-dory. However, a wrench was thrown in the works, my friends, because my friend, it was my improv group on a camping trip, and he had to leave early to get to work. He parked in the back of my apartment because parking was crazy because of the street fair, and he needed to get to work real fast, so he just parked in my parking lot and ran to work. And so I get back to my apartment about the time he gets off of work. So I get there, and I'm lying down, and I'm trying to, take a load off Betty, that kind of thing. When suddenly, I get a phone call from him, and I'm like, hey, why is Schwako calling me? And then he starts talking about something about a car and my parking lot, and I'm like, what? You're out there? I'm just going to go to you. And I go out there, and sure enough, there is a car blocking his car into my parking lot. And everyone is gone from my building, and we can't figure out whose car it is, and he can't leave. He's tired, and I'm getting angry. And we eventually got the car moved because the lady who knew the person whose car it was called her, and the key was in the car, which had open windows, and I was like, just move it yourself. And then we did. Then he went home, and now I'm here, and everything's happy.
Oh man!
Okay. Congratulations!
Yeah, that was my Sunday afternoon. How are you guys doing?
I'm pretty good. I'm at a friend's house.
Yeah, I hear a voice back there. Is it a lady voice?
That is a lady and two boys. And then I'll be muting while other people are talking. I'll only unmute for when I'm going to talk, so that there's no background noises like that.
Yeah, do your thing. I trust you. Do your thing.
Yeah. No, yeah.
Whatever blips I'm hearing aren't really like bothersome. If they are,
okay, cool, perfect.
But I trust you, your own discretion. How about you, Moz? How you doing?
I just got back home from work, and I'm eating food right now, and it's delicious.
Ate three different tacos for dinner tonight, so I'm envious of you.
I got home, and my sister was like, "Hey, there's food in the fridge if you want," and I was like, "What?" And I found chicken and rice, and it's delicious.
Oh, dude, that sounds so good right now.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Chicken and rice sounds so baller right now.
Is it because I'm black?
Yeah, I mean, I'm black, too, so whatever wavelengths you're getting from it are the wavelengths I'm getting right now. But, man, oh, man, that sounds pretty good. Not going to lie.
It's like... Black people and chicken is like Superman in a yellow sun. It just gives us our power.